The human condition and its tragedy came to pass in the garden at the beginning. Because God had originally told man in Genesis chapter 2 of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And of course, over the centuries and millennia, since God inspired scripture given to man, commentators and scholars, preachers and pundits have puzzled over and wrestled with what it meant when God said, in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Because quite obviously, Adam and Eve did not biologically die that day. They didn't fall down dead from the eating. God didn't strike them dead in his anger and wrath. They lived. In fact, Adam lived 900 and some odd years before he passed away. And in fact, one of the remarkable things about the earliest humans when you read the genealogies of Genesis is they lived almost 1,000 years back in those days. Part of what happens, and what most commentators have rightly discerned in God's statement, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die, was that God was most immediately referring to some sort of spiritual death. Indeed, there is more to death, capital D, than what merely happens with our physical bodies. Jesus, I think, was getting at this when in Luke chapter 9, having told one person to follow me, that person responded, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus memorably said to that man, leave the dead to bury their own dead. Because what Jesus was saying was, you can be dead before you are physically dead. And that, of course, I think is the right sense to understand what happened to Adam and Eve in that day. They lost a form of relationship with God. An intimacy, a nearness, a presence. They could no longer see his face. They could no longer be in his presence without fear. They were naked and ashamed. Because there is more to life than mere existence. There is a certain quality of life, a flourishing, that comes only when we are rightly related to our Creator. And when you understand this, when you remember this, all of a sudden it begins to make sense. All these fleeting phrases that are scattered throughout the New Testament in particular, phrases about how we have been transferred or moved or changed when we come to God through Jesus Christ. I think about Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 when he says, remember that you were at that time, in other words, before your conversion, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, they were dead. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8, formerly Paul wrote to those Christians, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those things that by nature are not God's. Or Paul to the Colossian Christians in Colossians chapter 1 verse 21, and you who were once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his own death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Or Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, a little bit more at length in this reading. Now I say and testify to this in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous, have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. In other words, they're dead. Even though they are alive and walking around, they have work to go to on Monday, families to raise, bills to pay, cares and concerns just like you and I, they are dead. But Paul goes on, that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off that old self which belongs to that former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed, brought to life again in the spirit of your minds, that you put on a new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul here so well and so vividly contrasts the death of our humanity that exists in the world with the wholeness, the joy, the peace, the health, the well-being that comes with the renewal that is found only in Jesus. And so again, just throughout the New Testament, these transformations, these images of darkness and death and corruption and hopelessness and alienation and futility and emptiness and callousness, they just pile up. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen race now, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Or perhaps as Jesus himself put it so vividly to the spiritual and religious, devout and earnest, and yet unsaved Saul, who is about to become Paul on the Damascus Road. When Jesus speaks to Paul of the Gentiles to whom I'm going to send you, your job is going to be to open their eyes, as his were now being opened on Damascus Road, so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And Paul well understood. You hear that language that Jesus gave to him on the Damascus Road. You hear that in what he writes to Gentiles like the Colossians and like the Ephesians and like the Galatians and so many others that he would minister to over the decades ahead. That he was opening their eyes, that he was renewing their minds, that he was helping them move from the kingdom of darkness and slavery and death into the kingdom of light and life and God. These are larger themes and larger ideas that are so constant as to be easily missed or tuned out because Paul does. He just sprinkles them in, rarely developed at length, but scattered throughout. Peter scatters it. It's just Jesus hints at this, scattered all the way through from Matthew to Revelation. The enormity of what has happened, the greater enormity of the solution and sacrifice that God has provided to what has happened to us. Darkness to light, death to life, slavery to freedom, guilt to forgiveness, from Satan back to God. And so as we come to the table this morning, let us truly take stock. Let us try and struggle and wrestle to come into a greater, more deep, and fuller awareness of the transition that has taken place in us who come to this table this morning, of just how far we have come, not in our own strength and power, but in the power of the one who crushed the head of the serpent. Let us realize that we have changed kingdoms, that we have renewed minds, that we have transferred allegiances, that we have come under a different power and dominion, that we have been sanctified from sin, that we have passed from the death under which all have lived since Genesis chapter 3, back to life. And that this table and this eating and drinking, we are reminded that in eating we fell, and that in eating in this we again participate in God's provision of life. And may we then remember what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 13, may we better understand what he meant when he said, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And so at this table, in this moment, let this eating and this drinking then motivate us to realize that we have moved from death back into life, that we are to offer our lives, our very bodies, to God as instruments of righteousness, that this is what it means to truly live, even as we have already tasted death, and now salvation in the gift of God through Jesus Christ.